this, actually. How many people do you normally get on Facebook? Because I'm usually never home when you guys are live streaming. I usually try to catch it on YouTube if I can.
It depends. I mean, we usually get between, I'd say, like 400 and 800 views, right?
Yeah.
Between for each like episode.
Yeah. And then afterwards.
Yeah, and then afterwards it's.
That's the end result's about. I mean, usually we get like 8 to 1,000.
Yeah.
Sometimes over 1,000 views.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think like during, we get about like.
During is hard to get like a big live audience because a lot of our viewers are out of state.
Yes.
Some out of country.
Really? Yeah.
We have some Australia who watch. She loves us. Cheryl Price.
Mm-hmm.
She's from Australia. But a lot of out of state, so like it's their
yeah,
times.
So like times of
right. So you have to factor
their,
that.
Their 7:30 p.m. is not.
No.
Our 7:30 p.m.
It's like 4:30 in the afternoon.
So it's like
people
are still like at work and shit. So it's tough to do it like that. But the local people hop on.
Yeah. So
that's why our videos get a lot of views after the fact, I noticed.
Yes. Yeah. During, I'd say we get
a lot of
we get like 80 to 100 people during.
Yeah.
Right, and
yeah.
then after it's just like.
There's a lot of replay.
Yes.
There's a lot of replay. That's really cool. Alright, so this is gonna go live. Let's get this.
Yeah. Check yours, because they'll hear us talking right now, but that's what they're gonna see.
Mine.
Sweet.
So we can leave that up for a couple, for like a minute or so, and then
So is there a particular subject or something?
I think we're gonna just kind of wing it.
Yeah.
I definitely would like to go through the topic of you switching your lifestyle to what it is now. I think that's awesome. I think you did awesome with that.
Appreciate that, man. Thanks. And yeah, I'm down for talking about anything.
Switching over to Zoom.
Nice.
Perfect.
All right. Just addressing anybody who's tuning in live. I'm here with Mike and Marty. Mondays with Mike and Marty. I'm doing their podcast right now.
We're live.
It's a huge honor. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thanks for being here.
Man. Happy to be here.
We should be.
Yeah, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
Just have to make sure I'm in frame.
I'm going to maximize this.
I'm a plaza instructor. Got to make sure my posture looks good.
What's up, peeps?
What up, everybody?
How's it going?
Hello.
Well, wasn't that fucking cool?
Hope you guys enjoyed the new graphics for the podcast.
Hell yeah.
This up a little bit.
Awesome.
Just
what up? Happy Monday. Hope everyone had a great weekend. We're here with our good friend Matt. He's a special guest today.
Yeah.
Big shout out to him for coming on.
Much appreciation for being here, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
Huge shout out to Sailaway, our official sponsor.
And if you didn't see the graphic beforehand, it was up there.
It's going to be a loud one.
It's going to be a good one. Right over your phone, too.
Ooh.
That sounds nice.
So. one more?
Yeah, I always do one more.
And. Boom.
Nice. All right, let's get
cheers.
Some viewers on. Cheers.
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 Matt, welcome.
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 We're going to play more, I think.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming
out tonight. All right, cool. So let's get some viewers on. Once you guys are on, say what's up. Say what's up to us. Say what's up to Matt. Let's greet them. Show them some love.
Hello.
Share it out to your timelines.
Yeah, share this out to your timeline. Share it out to your groups. Anyone in any keto groups, any fitness health groups. I know a couple of you are going to share it to Lazy Keto with Jess, which is much appreciated.
Sound good. Yep, good.
No technical difficulties. Not.
Yeah.
On one. Oh, Jesus. Like we did last week.
Oh my
which
God.
Was a fucking nightmare.
Was terrible.
Still figured out how to get it done, but.
Yeah. But
quite annoying.
What's funny is that I tried it again this afternoon with Google Chrome.
Yeah.
And I crashed.
Again?
So I'm like, I'm done with you.
Google Chrome.
I'm done with you.
Done with you. You lost our.
I'm breaking up with you, Google Chrome.
Yeah,
at least for the podcast.
I was going to say, I thought that was a good one.
It is.
It was.
But for some reason, the last week, it was like every time we went live, it just crashed.
Yeah.
Mm. Every single time.
It would last like 10 seconds. We'd get really hyped up. Oh, it's working. And then, nope.
Yeah,
and like, we were like getting really amped up. And then once we started, we were like, motherfucker. Like, we just spent 20 minutes just trying to get live.
What's up, Eileen?
Eileen, how are you? Welcome.
Leanne, Brittany, Ashley, what's going on? Melissa. Awesome. Got some viewers coming on. Cool.
Cool, cool, cool.
We don't really have a specific topic for this one. We're kind of just going to play it cool and wing it. We're going to wind up talking about some cool shit anyway.
Product placement.
What was that?
Product placement.
Yeah, that's very important.
Kim, what's up?
Hope everyone had a great weekend.
Awesome. I think everyone will be happy to know that I actually cheated yesterday. Yeah.
No.
My friends witnessed it with their own eyes.
He did it.
What'd you do to yourself?
I had bread.
Bread?
Yeah.
All things.
I don't know. I was very lethargic today.
Yeah.
That happens.
Luckily, I didn't feel like shit like I expected to. I was just tired.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll take it.
Right.
You know, and I still, like, controlled myself. I only had two pieces, and then the rest was kind of just, like, scraped the stuff off the bread.
Oh, absolutely.
Like I normally do.
I did that yesterday, too.
I couldn't. Kim, he ate bread. I saw it. Kim watched. Kim was sitting across from me with her own eyes.
Kim was like,
eat bread.
He's like, is he going to do it? Is he
going to
do it?
That's
he's like, yes, he eats bread.
Brady, I saw it. It's true.
Mike eats bread. Film at 11.
Damn.
Not getting away from this one.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. I can't remember the last time I had bread.
Yeah.
How long have you been?
Honestly,
I
didn't even enjoy it. Almost 3 years.
Okay, yeah.
But even that, I actually went gluten-free and grain-free years before I even knew what keto was.
Okay.
I've been gluten-free for a while. That's why when I do have a little bit of gluten, it completely fucks me up.
Yeah.
Gluten is it's a terrible thing. Terrible thing. So, Matt, I'll let you introduce yourself and tell the viewers what you do and where you're coming from and all that jazz.
Matt's got really cool info. He's got a really sick business that I learned about the first day I met him.
Yeah, because
really
I never shut up.
Yeah, it was worth it. So we had a pretty good conversation when we first met. He has a really cool business, so I thought if you want to explain that.
Yeah. All right, so my name is Matthew Huddle. Matt, as people would actually know me. I am the owner and founder of Monster Health and Fitness. It is a personal development vlog that I run on YouTube, also on Instagram at Monster Health and Fitness. I'm also kind of on Twitter, Monster HNF. Basically, I start my business starts from the premise that everybody has we all have a lot of things in common, really. Well, everybody has one really major dark thing in common is that we have parts of ourselves that we hide away. And this is for personal reasons, religious reasons, societal reasons. And, you know, following the works of Carl Jung and Friedrich Nietzsche and studying Hinduism, and I noticed that there's a lot of warnings to some degree about going into your own darkness and confronting what's there. But at the same time, that warning comes not as an admonition to never do it, but to in fact do it. And in the Hindu belief system, one of the chief deities, Lord Shiva, travels with, when he travels with monsters and demons. And they give him their fealty, not because, you know, he's a monster's god or anything. He's actually one of the nicest gods in the pantheon. But because he sees them as they are, as the monsters, as the demons that they are, and just accepts them for who they are, for their bestial nature. So, through my own journey, through my own dark times, dealing with recovery from alcohol, my own mental disorders, I discovered my own personal strength by really going into that darkness many, many times, because becoming comfortable with the monsters there and saying, this is another part of myself. It deserves a place in the real world. To even do that with my own ego, with my id, with all these components of myself. So in that process, I discovered not just a pathway to success, but a pathway to self-fulfillment and self-acceptance. And that's a huge thing that people talk about.
Absolutely.
They play a lot of lip service to. And, you know, I think it's like, you know, self-acceptance and self-love is like bubble baths. No, it's like sitting and crying and like fighting your darkest natures and then realizing you don't have to necessarily fight them. So I'm very bold with my mental health disorders. I'm very open about my recovery from alcohol.
We talked about that not too long.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. I was watching that podcast just earlier. And so that's the premise that I built my entire business on. So whether it has to do with, you know, physical health, mental health, that's what Monster Health and Fitness really is trying to represent. And that's the message that I not only try to get across, but I just try to live. And as Gary Vee says, document, don't create. So I just said, fuck it. I'm just going to go through my personal development journey, backtrack, talk about the great thought leaders that I've encountered, how their advice has helped me. And that's what I vlog on. And I vlog in series so that people can look at it, digest it, and then go to the next series.
Awesome.
So that's my spiel.
That's dope.
Sweet.
Thank you.
Yeah, dot do. People ask me all the time, you guys see the stupid shit I post on Instagram. People ask me all the time, like, how do you come up with this stuff? And I'm literally like, I document.
Yeah.
I don't go and create some like super staged thing. It's like, believe it or not, as weird as this shit, this stuff, my content is, I'm already doing this stuff.
Yeah.
I just film it.
Yeah.
Like when I'm dancing in the store with Sailway, like I'm truly dancing in the store with Sailway. Whether it's on camera or not, I'm doing it anyway. So like I'm gonna document it.
So you running away from the camera the other day wasn't staged?
I think he just ran out of shit to say.
So like, what I did was, in my head, I put myself in the shoes of
a nutritionist.
That's how I like to call them.
Well, air quotes.
No offense to those nutritionists who actually do know what they're talking about. You guys know who you are, you know who you're not.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I like to think nutritionists, and I was like, well, what would a nutritionist say and do? And I was like, they pretty much run away from it.
I know a lot of
nutritionists who don't agree with keto because they don't know about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, they don't do their research, they're uneducated, so they automatically shut it down instead of being open-minded. You know, they're very close-minded, set in their ways.
Absolutely.
Well, so, all people do that.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
I
used to do it myself.
Intransigence is
I wasn't always open-minded.
No, I mean,
I was very close-minded for a long time. And it I feel like it blocked off a lot of doors that could have been open for me.
Yeah.
A lot. Probably more than I even realized.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's a big part of all our journeys.
The minute I became self-aware and open-minded, literally, not only opened more doors for me, but literally changed my entire life.
Yeah.
Like,
it still blows
my mind to this day because I'm still working on it and I'm still improving it. So, like, I love learning about it every day, a little bit each every day, and I'm like, it's still eye-opening. Every time I learn something new about that topic, I'm still like, what the fuck?
Or whatever topic. I mean,
yeah.
Part of what made my own journey into the dark is I put myself there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By my stupidity, by my intransigence, by my insistence that life had to go my way, and then I realized...
It's your ego.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then I realized, like, it doesn't have to go my way.
No.
Yeah.
No. And you're, you know, because I also, you know, quit drinking almost 2 years ago, and looking back, it's just, you know, knowing that my ego ran the show, and, you know, like, it was all about me, being selfish about everything in life, and just not really putting the most important things in the forefront of where they should be, and, you know, I took, you know, and then, you know, I switched my life around, and now it's, you know, now everything is where it is, and things are good again, you know, or things are better now, at least.
Exactly, but you have to go through that negative time.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I also triggered something in my head is that, you know, for me, I don't just, refuse to not do those things. I find that I'm a very arrogant, self-centered person. And that is something I am not going to change about myself, so I use it to my advantage.
Yeah.
So what I do in my business and trying to, you know, work for, you know, build a personal development brand is because I don't necessarily care about everyone in the world.
Yeah.
I just want to deal with fewer assholes.
Yes.
So if I help everyone
yes.
to get in touch with themselves, deal with their issues, and stop, you know, yelling at every barista that shortchanges you.
Yeah.
Like, that's what people do, is because they don't deal with their own stuff. They yell at every person they feel is powerless.
Yeah.
Every, you know, person at every store. That's why these people do that.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe we can make a better world.
Mm-hmm.
I can make a better world for me and my daughter
yep.
if I just do my part to make everyone around me a little less shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By reflecting off of the stuff that I had. So if I'm this arrogant loudmouth who has no shame and inhibition about talking about the shit that I've dealt with and done to myself and other people, and other people go, wow, I can never do that, but I appreciate you telling me that story. It's like, all right, fine, there's my gift, I'm
yeah.
going to share it.
It's
yeah.
like, as long as somebody appreciates, one person appreciates what your story
yeah.
that you're putting out,
oh, it's a
it'll
effect.
Help everybody
yeah,
else.
It is.
You know,
that's why I'm so open about everything.
Yeah.
You see,
yeah.
I talk about whatever, and
yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what I do. I'm open about it, I'm not afraid to talk about it. And, you know, it might be a butterfly effect. Even
yeah.
if I don't, even if someone doesn't say, hey, I would never be able to do that. Like, I'm glad you have no shame talking about it. But like, if someone hears it and they think, well, shit, like, I thought I was alone in this. And,
right.
Yeah.
And then you could be changing people's lives without even knowing them or realizing that you did it.
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
I mean, I think that was
that's how I think. If we can help even one person.
Well,
yeah,
exactly.
Start there.
Yeah.
That's a big thing why we started this, you know, is that it wasn't so much as that, like, we had so much information that we just had to share with other people,
mm-hmm.
but it was also
yeah.
to put a message out there to actually help people with stuff,
right.
you know, and, like, and help them change their lives, whether it be, like, emotional or mental or
mm-hmm.
physical health, and, you know, it's the message that we try to pass along every week, I think, is, you know, us just trying to help one more person,
yeah.
and that one person can just pass along a little bit of our information, then, you know, then it becomes the domino effect and the butterfly effect. And,
yeah.
you know, then we've done our jobs of what we're, the, you know, the message that we're trying to get at. You know?
And that's
so,
great, because it's not like people can't find it. You know, like, even on my channel, like, I curate a lot of other thought leaders, and I've heard you guys talk about, you know, Gary Vee and Greg Cardone and all
yeah.
those guys.
Yeah.
It's not like nobody can find them. It's not like,
yeah.
you know, but when you frame, and I find this at least for myself when I'm listening to people like that, is that when you frame the words of the giant whose shoulders you're standing on
yeah.
for someone else to understand, you might say it in a way that clicks with them that, you know, I could talk about Will Durant, somebody else is not going to really get what Will Durant is saying.
Exactly.
But if I paraphrase Ty Lopez talking about Will Durant, it makes it a little bit more accessible
yeah.
yes.
for other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, fully agree.
Yeah.
That's why we quote Gary Vee all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I think...
Gary Vee's really accessible. Let's just admit that.
Yes. Well, he never
yeah, you don't
turn
up. Yeah. You don't open your phone to Instagram without seeing Gary Vee.
No, no.
At least some sort of...
yeah.
You know, meme or
meme,
something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Or as it should be. You know? It's like Peter Sage says, you are the sum of the people you surround yourselves by.
Yeah.
Whether that's 100%. Physically in person... or digitally,
yep.
this is your world. This
yeah.
these are the people you're interacting with.
I mean,
with.
Yeah.
I would say it's even more so digitally because that's just the world that we live
that's
in.
The way
you know,
are,
like
yeah.
every single person is connected via digital
yeah.
life. You know?
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, it's...
You almost forget about the people you don't see on Instagram and Facebook and
yeah.
the other people, your friends, because
yeah.
we all have friends who are not on social.
Yeah.
Like one or two of them, or they're not as active on this platform and you're more active on that platform.
Right.
And you almost, it happened to me the other day, I totally should have tagged someone and I forgot, and I'm like, you know, waking up at 2 a.m. beating myself up over it, you know, it's like, you have these moments, it's like, shit, I'm half like a cyborg, like
yeah,
my brain
yeah.
is in this digital world.
Yep. It's the way of the world now.
It is.
But it's
it
also
is.
Advantageous because like you
yeah.
said, it's people like us or people like anybody can get out there and share a message that they're passionate about.
Exactly.
It was funny, when I started on another channel, and then that eventually, you know, I changed my brand over to something else and rolled with this one. And I ended up connecting with this lovely woman in England, Beverly, this Adventure XX, if anyone wants to follow her on YouTube or Instagram.
Cool.
She does mental health blogging.
Okay.
And also, you know, she has a couple of physical disorders, so she has a lot of, you know, problems, and she talks about how she deals with that. But she also does, like, thrift store shopping, She does unboxing. You know, she's a big nerd, so she likes or geek. I don't know. I forgot what she likes to be called.
Yeah.
It's important. And she like unboxes, like, you know, she talks about the con she goes to, and she's been doing this for a little less than I have, and she's got more followers than me. And I don't say that in the, oh my gosh, she's got more followers than me. It's, she has connected to a tribe of people who really appreciate just every little thing that she does.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And not just the mental health stuff, the physical stuff, like just her showing, oh, I got this dress at a thrift store, you know.
Yeah.
I love that stuff.
Yeah.
And people can really connect. It's all that stuff that
there's a little niche for everything. You know?
Exactly.
There is.
It's amazing.
Yeah, there is.
And you can, if you tap into that little niche, there's
there's
an audience.
Yeah.
Well, Seth Godin talks about tribes a lot, and that's exactly it. 10,000 years ago, your physical tribe kept you safe. But now in the digital age, your digital tribe is not in proximity to you, except, you know, physically, but they're digital proximity to you mentally and emotionally.
Yeah.
And then they build up your ability to have success, have more resources.
Yep.
So it's just like the model from like 10,000 years ago to now is just flipped.
It's insane, yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Oh yeah, it is.
So I guess speaking of tribes,
mm-hmm.
your old tribe was vegan life.
The vegan life.
The vegan
cult
life.
Is more like
and now you're
cult. Yeah, you know what? Yeah.
And now your new cult.
Newly,
it's a new cult. No, the keto cult is a keto cult.
Newly
it's
keto.
Keto cult.
Newly
yeah.
keto.
So I guess how did
that's a big transition.
It is.
That's
cool. Like
that's
hardcore,
a major,
hardcore
that's
vegan
a
to hardcore keto.
Yeah.
And by the way, I have to say I respect that because
yeah.
that's how my personality is.
Yeah.
I went from full blown like natural bodybuilding.
Mm-hmm.
So like I was in the mentality of okay, I have to eat brown rice, chicken,
yeah.
boiled chicken, and broccoli with
yeah.
no sauce 6 times a day every 2 hours. Otherwise, I'm gonna shrink.
It sounds delicious.
Right.
So it was. That's actually the reason why I don't really, I don't like chicken anymore.
Yeah, I'm
I completely
yeah,
fucking gross
sense.
Myself.
No, we talked. I remember you talking
sense.
About that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I
saw you the other day in Mission. I saw you eating chicken. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's like I have to really be in the mood for it. And even then, like if I get like a weird piece, I'll fucking throw the whole thing out. I get
yeah.
grossed out.
Yeah.
That's just me being a baby about it. But so I went from, I mean,
that.
Brown rice, a cup of brown rice 6 times a day. I mean, that's. I can't do math very well, but that's almost 300. I was averaging around 250 to 300 grams of carbs a day. Yeah. So I mean,
I remember you saying that.
Yeah.
Still.
So that's.
Yeah,
and
it's
then,
all my mind every time you say.
Yeah.
It.
And then I went from that because I'm not capable of half-assing things. You know, intentionally or unintentionally, I just can't half-ass something. So I went from that to overnight. Under 50 grams of net carbs.
Yeah, you.
Actually, I went under 30 grams of net carbs. Under 30 grams of net carbs, full blown keto. I went from that to full blown
yeah.
keto overnight, which probably wasn't the smartest, toughest
yeah.
way to do it, but I did it because I'm.
Oh no,
you did quite
yeah.
the.
But you did exactly.
Yeah.
You did exactly what I did. I
yeah.
was, okay. So let me start with why. I went vegan 3.5 years ago, because my dad dodged cancer. And when I say dodge cancer, I mean they removed organs.
Okay.
He was not at my wedding because he was in the hospital this close from renal failure.
Wow.
So fast forward a few years, my then wife, now ex, was pregnant with my daughter. We just put my dog down. I was very emotionally vulnerable, piss drunk, watching Forks Over Knives and The Beautiful Truth. Stumbled down to Burger King, had my last burger, and then went pescatarian, vegetarian, vegan, a year, and then vegan
okay.
for 3.5 years. So I haven't touched lamb meat, you know,
yeah.
for almost 6 years. And I did this because the information presented in those documentaries, obviously I did a little more research after that, you know,
yeah.
once I sobered up.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, this is the best way I could avoid cancer. I'm always been an environmentalist, so like, you know, take care of the planet, provide a better future for my daughter, be there for my daughter.
Yeah.
And then, you know, years went by, everything was fine. Like, you know, I got a lot healthier, I got a lot cleaner and leaner, but I always felt like there was still something. And there were things in the back of my head that said veganism isn't entirely right.
Yeah.
And I always just kind of pushed them aside to put the ideology, because I said, well, the science is good enough.
Yeah.
And then when I started coming into Mission and started getting to know you guys, and this is what I talked about Chris, with Chris and
yes.
his interview that he did on my channel, on Monster Health and Fitness on YouTube, is that admission, they create like a real atmosphere.
Right.
You know, something a lot more than just a storefront.
Yes.
So I got to know you guys and I got to talking, and like, there was just, I finally got curious enough to watch The Magic Pill.
Awesome.
Great. And much more balanced than the vegan documentaries I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I started looking at the space. I go, you know, my intuition kicked in. I said, this is just weird enough to be right. So I did a lot more, I did a little bit more reading. I have ADHD, so reading is hard. So I did a lot more video research, let me put it that way. And I started looking into more lectures.
I
started looking into more lectures, and you know, a few TED Talks later, I'm just like, I'm gonna go with my gut. And it was amazing because within 2 days, I mean, obviously about day two, I could barely move. Like I in 2 weeks, I have the first of my video logs up, and we'll see how shitty I actually felt. But I lost pounds right away. I lost like 5 pounds in like 3 days.
Right.
I lost an inch and a half of bloat, gone.
Yeah.
And now, and obviously my body's going through a change. The same thing happened when I went vegan. I got sick a lot for like the first 6-7 months. I caught every virus because my body was changing.
Yeah.
You know, digestive problems, you know, whatever. And now I'm noticing the same thing. Like the first couple weeks were great, and now I'm like, I'm getting some digestive issues. I'm taking some supplements, enzymes for that. Kind of playing around with the food I'm taking in, electrolytes, things like that. I got sick twice. One of them turned into bronchitis. So like, there's an adjustment period, and
yes.
I know that. I know that going in. But yeah, I'm like you. I'm like total Gemini. As I have to go from one thing to the next, but I always try to make it with the best scientific, sound reasoning. And it's so funny because I still have some good vegan friends, and I don't want to trash anybody or anybody's lifestyle. And they don't. And I really try to be balanced.
We can
about
mute the mic if you want.
No, it's cool.
Earmuffs, sir.
Earmuffs.
Yeah.
All vegans tune out for a minute. But you know, and a couple of my friends are ethical vegans. I never was. I was always a health vegan or a planet vegan.
Yeah.
And one of them said to me flat out, says, "Look, all the scientific evidence in the world will make a difference to me. This is the thing I feel is morally right to do." And I said, "You know what? Because of what you just said, I honestly, I never really, even as a vegan, I'll say this for the record, I never really respected ethical vegans on the whole. You know, I had a few friends and I respect them because I liked who they were, but the concept of ethical veganism. And even though I went from vegan to keto, I actually have more of a respect for ethical vegans now because at least they'll admit the science is not good.
Right.
The science on veganism, I will say right now, flat out, is terrible.
It is.
But if you're going to make an ethical stance on veganism, or you're going to make a moral stance, I will literally fight someone to defend you on that.
Yeah, right. I can actually even say, and I've never been vegan, nor have I respected, like every time someone's asked me for nutrition advice and they said they were vegan, my first question always was, well, what reason are you vegan?
You asked me that too.
Because if it's for health reasons, because you think that it's healthy,
I can
give you some science behind that. That's how I do. Everything that I do for myself and everything that I do for other people, whether I'm coaching or giving friendly advice or using myself as a guinea pig, I always attack it with the most logic and science that I could possibly find. And even when people in the store or somewhere, they try to challenge me and question me, I love that because, one, it keeps me on my toes.
Definitely.
And it makes me dig deep because that's when I realize I know more than I thought I did because I have to explain it. I don't like not knowing. None of us do. But I'll always admit, hey, I don't know.
Right.
But I'm going to research it and I'm going to get back to you and I'm going to find out for you.
And that's
every
powerful position to come to.
Yeah. And a lot of times people will say, you know, like, you know, they'll try to challenge me on like a keto or a paleo or whatever, and I won't even argue with it. I'll just say, this is the science.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've done this with myself. I've done this with other people through keto or paleo or whatever it is. So there's the proof right there. There's the methods that I follow, or whether it's my methods or methods that I've taken from other people and turned into my own, whatever.
At some point, it blends together.
Yeah, it all blends together. But I can say, even like, if they say, oh, I'm vegan because I do it for ethical reasons. Like, I don't want to hurt the animals. I don't want to do anything that would hurt the animal. I had a vegan customer She wouldn't even touch so much as honey because technically it's a byproduct.
Yeah, exactly.
And at that point, I don't even try to give you science because at that point, the belief in the ethical reason is so much deeper than you're not going to convert someone from ethical vegan outside of that because it's just your belief is too strong. And I always respected that.
Yeah.
You know, that was never vegan, but just the ethical point. Like the ethical part of it, I was always like, okay, cool.
Well,
I respect that.
It becomes a spiritual component.
If you guys either have listened to recently the Joe Rogan podcast with Ted Nugent.
Yeah.
No, I didn't get to that one.
There's a 14-minute clip on that how obviously Ted Nugent hunts and kills every animal that
everything.
But,
kills everything.
Apparently his son is full vegan.
Wow. Sorry about rebelling against dad.
And he's like,
I'll show you how to hunt those animals.
And Joe's like, how's that working out? And he's like, Nugent was just saying that he completely respects it. He's like, I let him do, whatever he wants to do and stuff. But he's like, however, he's like, on the flip side, he's like, what people don't understand about, like, the way the vegan food is actually grown is that in the field they have to kill every animal that's in there. And I'm gonna go off on what he said. He's like every rabbit, every snake, every squirrel, every ferret, every gopher,
he went
off on like a tangent of animals. He's like every animal has to die in order for, like you said, have to make your tofu sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, and if they're gonna kill it in the field with their machine, they're going to go over it again if they didn't kill it the first time because they have to get them out, otherwise your food's going to die. So it's
actually, you just reminded me, that was part of the reason for me as an environmentalist to, not that I want to subscribe to a lot of isms, but I was just watching today on Louder with Crowder, there was a clip of, let me find it, because it's this woman, you guys, okay, her name, Lier Keith.
Okay.
And shut up. Lier Keith. And I think she was actually featured in The Magic Pill. And she was bringing out this point that Joe Salatin was also featured in The Magic Pill. He's the guy who made organic farming the catchphrase that it is in this country. Talking about how what we did, hundreds, thousands of years ago, and as a pagan, that's something that really connected with me, is that we take a plot of land. We let the cows on it, we let the pigs on it, we let the chickens on it. Chickens would kill all the insects, and the pigs would root for vegetables and till the soil, and the cows would, eat the grass, and they'd all shit everywhere, and they'd put nutrients back in the soil.
Yeah.
So using animals in the process to grow real organic food without pesticides, without any of that stuff, natural tilled soil, no petrochemicals, no big machinery, that's what our ancestors did. And it worked, and we had such nutrient-dense, calorie-poor food that really fed us.
Yeah.
And now the only way to do that, to keep animals out of the process, is petrochemicals. Well, guess what's more destructive for the planet, kids? So the only way to make that system, and that system really is economically viable, because we have all these big agro companies, and this is what I said to my vegan friends, it's like, look, we have the same enemy. Big agriculture, big animal agriculture especially, they need to go. We need to vote them out with our dollars. Every time we spend money on pasture-raised, grass-fed food, which is very, very effective dollars,
right?
It really goes straight to the farmers, and they say, okay, now I can fight these big companies that want to buy out my family farm, and I can grow more, and I can have more, and this system then gets fed, and long-term, but the only way that's financially viable is if you eat those fucking animals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what it came down to. And so when I'm looking at the planet I want for my kid, and I'm looking at my own mind, and that's really what pushed me over into keto, is not my physical health, but my mental health. The idea that it could give me the brain function.
Mental clarity.
The biggest thing I've noticed in the last almost 6 weeks is that by reducing the inflammation in my body, my ability to maintain my mood is gone up dramatically.
It's twofold.
It's incredible. It's absolutely unbelievable. And I get agitated less.
Yeah.
In the road, I'm terrible behind the wheel. I'm no patience whatsoever. Yeah. In fact, people are probably looking at me going, I know that son of a bitch, he flipped me off on Hudson Turnpike. Yeah, probably on the way here. But that is all like come down a lot.
Right.
Like, and I'm, you know, you're a parent, I'm a parent, you know your kids push those buttons.
Yes,
my buttons
do
not get pushed.
Yes, they do.
My buttons don't get pushed as fast, pushed as hard. Like, it's a completely different life for me now. And I can deal with a little tummy trouble for the next couple of weeks until I get this all balanced out.
Yeah.
To live
but
like
the
that?
Quality of life, I said, is...
That's what I say. from switching to, like, the, like, standard American diet to a keto lifestyle, like, just changed my lifestyle completely around, you know?
Yeah.
And just the way I felt and the way I was living and just, you know, it mixed in with I started actually, like, exercising regularly and just...
Oh, now
the concept. I know, right? Who knew? If you eat well and exercise regularly, you feel good. But it's just... Yeah, the immense change and the benefits are, like, it's... You can't compare to how I felt.
No.
At least bit.
That's what I try to explain to people when I'm explaining it. Like, a lot of times that people ask me, why did you do keto? You don't have weight to lose.
Right.
And I'm like,
it's not about
true,
that.
I get it. Like, I get where your head's at. But I can't even sometimes, like, as thoroughly as I explain something,
right.
I still can't really put into words to in depth of how much deeper nutrition, not even forgetting keto.
Right.
Keto is obviously the premise behind it,
yeah.
but nutrition alone, how food is medicine.
It's your medicine. Yeah.
Food can eat. I try to explain to people, like, it goes so much deeper. The fact that I got my genetic anxiety and depression, which is a chemical imbalance, under control without touching a single prescription drug, it happened 2 months after I started eating keto.
Yeah.
That's not a timing coincidence.
No.
It's just not. Like, and I try to explain to people, it goes so much deeper than that.
Yeah.
The inflammation and what you can think of long term. It's not just about how you look now, especially this day and age. Like, it's 2018. Like, the name of the game is longevity. It's not.
Yes.
No, you focus on that, you're gonna look good anyway. That's just that follows suit. But, like, reducing the inflammation, reducing the risk of all these diseases that stem from inflammation, and, you know, decades of what a huge contribution to why people get sick, in my research and everyone else's research, is decades and years and decades of mistreating the body, giving it things it's not supposed to have.
Right.
You know, you overconsume carbs and sugar for 20 plus years, you're going to increase your risk of things like neurodegenerative diseases and certain illnesses, whether they're genetic or not.
Also feed, like, for cancers.
Yes.
You know, like, shitty sugar feeds on those cells and enhances it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
I've seen
just
research,
think about it, cutting that out and knowing that it can, you know, prevent cancer and, you know, possibly, you know,
I've looked at that, and that's what I was told,
vegan was going to give me. And now, I mean, once I feel completely duped and lied to.
Yeah.
But I know, I also know it wasn't really intentional. I don't sit here with any anger, and I don't sit here and blame, you know, and anything like that.
Yeah, exactly.
People tend to get, like, very anti-something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like you said, that quality of life, and even before I went vegan, before I did any of that, when I was 20, I was diagnosed with ADHD, OCD, and dysthymia, which is a type of depression that goes in long cycles down and long cycles up. So basically, I could fall into a depression and not know it. 2 years ago, I got very depressed. So depressed, I went to see if I was on the autistic spectrum. Like, that's how disconnected I got from the world, as I started exhibiting signs of Asperger's. So, in fact, I got tested at Yale, so I know the diagnosis was correct when I came back, you're not on the spectrum. And the doctor even said, I can see how you would think it. You had a lot of behavioral factors that matched high-functioning autism, but you actually connect to people more. You're just really depressed right now, and you just don't know it.
Okay.
And when I got diagnosed at 20, I decided to make a big change because I was eating like shit, I wasn't exercising, I was staying up late.
Yep.
So I got back, I got into martial arts again,
Yeah, you're flexible as fuck, by the way.
Thank you.
I saw your Instagram live, and I was like,
Yeah, that's my morning. That's what. That's
I'm
how
like,
I wake
Jesus
up.
Jesus Christ.
That's not me warmed up. That's me warming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's...
So I got back into martial arts. I got exercising again. I cut out all the junk food. I started going. I quit the. I was doing telemarketing like night or something. So I quit that. Like, I just completely changed my life around, just like you said. And you know, I did fine for a while. And then I got into those unhealthy habits again.
Yep.
And it doesn't.
It's easy to fall back.
It's very easy. And for me, as an addict. Knowing, like, there are some things you, let me backtrack, Peter Sage said, you know, you change your identity, you don't have to use willpower to,
yes.
you know, change something.
Exactly.
So, when you identify as a vegan, well, that's great, because I don't have to eat all this junk food anymore, because it has eggs and butter and milk in it, right? But then there's all these other shitty things that I can eat. So now I'm keto, and there's really nothing shitty that I can eat.
Yeah.
There's nothing shitty that I can eat.
Yeah.
But by changing my identity. So one of my clients said to me, oh, you know, you're so disciplined. I'm like, I'm not disciplined, I'm psychotic. I just simply go into a new personality mode
yeah,
and
yeah.
boom, I'm there. Just like I have to say, I am an alcoholic, so I cannot touch one drop of alcohol because that will become buckets.
Oh, yeah.
And
snowball effect.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the same thing.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, it's once you, I definitely feel that it's, I latched on to my keto when I stopped drinking.
Yeah.
And
it
you know,
gave you
granted,
that structure.
Yeah. And then...
that's the word, structure.
And
yeah.
granted, I was doing it very loosely at the time, and
mm-hmm.
it was just... It was also during the holiday season, and I'm like...
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, in the office, there was like, at each desk, there was like little dishes of like candy
cookies
and stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
and
yeah.
like, I would just go around, and I would just take a piece from like every dish, and like, I'd make it like multiple rounds throughout the office, and like... But I was like, I started disciplining myself in the fact that I started going to the gym
mm-hmm.
more, and that's where I really like threw myself into things to kind of like supplement like the things that I was getting rid of in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And
you have to replace it with something.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And
there's
kinda,
so many smokers standing outside an AA meeting.
I went fully into exercising.
Yeah.
And I was doing that every day, even though I was like very loosely following keto, but
mm-hmm.
I was still eating kind of like shit. I was doing keto like 3 days a week.
You're starting stall.
Yeah, exactly. And then January 1st of 2017, I went full blown keto, and
mm-hmm.
I was still exercising. And you know, I say here multiple times that I lost, you know, like 43 pounds last year.
Jesus.
Just from, you know, exercising regularly, doing keto, and now it's just how I live my life.
Yeah.
And it's always funny that when you, you know, like we were talking about when people ask you about keto,
yeah.
like the first thing like people bring up to me is like, but doesn't that raise your cholesterol if you eat a lot of fat? And I'm like, I just want to get here. I was like, oh, I'm taking all the strength in myself to not like just pimp slap you, you know?
Yeah.
And
well,
that's
the default position.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm like, no. I was like, that's not the issue at all. I was
right.
like, I got all my tests like a couple months ago, and I have like brilliant cholesterol levels. So like, it does not raise your cholesterol in
yeah.
the least bit. Like, I'm the healthiest I've ever been in my entire life.
And that's something that always, and I'll tell you, you know, talking about red flags you put in the back of your head. Even when I was in massage school and we were learning about, you know, they tell you a lot about the stuff, you know, conditions you have to deal with, hypertension, you know, with the client. And that was something that I asked, and I never got an answer.
Yeah.
Is when do the, you know, or you're told, oh, you know, the plaque builds up, the cholesterol builds up in the arteries lining, and then it causes a blockage. I raised my hand and I said, how do they decide where to stop? Like, is there, like, a special, like, section, and
yeah.
then all of a sudden they just accrue? Like, where do they just suddenly... It wasn't until I learned about ketogenics and learned that it's inflammation
yeah.
that
yes.
suddenly closes those blood vessels. That's where the particles start
yeah.
hitting the curve on the inflammation.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why couldn't anyone just fucking tell me that?
Yeah.
But it made so much sense.
Yeah.
It was one of those things, those big, huge chunks of a puzzle that just kind of slammed into place.
Yeah.
And unless you dig, you're
you
never
dig,
going
yeah.
to know this
yeah.
stuff.
Even still, when I explain to people that it's not fats and saturated
mm-hmm.
fats that are causing these things, it's carbs and sugars,
mm-hmm.
their head spins because everything has always been taught to us that it was fat that caused it.
Right.
And I try to tell them, there's There's studies that there's no study that there's no legit study.
Legit study, yeah.
Credible.
You can cherry pick anything.
You can. I can write whatever. Yeah, exactly. There's no legit study by a credible source that links saturated fat to any artery clogging, pre-diabetes, diabetes, type 2 diabetes, weight gain. There's nothing that shows that. It's carbs and sugar that's always linked to that.
Yes.
And even still, like, I made a video today. I didn't post it yet, but it's a 60-second clip. Mm-hmm. Saturated fat. I still have people argue with me that saturated fat's bad. Saturated fat's bad.
It's a religious argument.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what I did was, instead of trying to prove my point with science, I did a simple Google search. I didn't dig deep. I literally Googled, is saturated fat bad for me? Just to make my simple point.
We're going to go into a Google search again?
These articles, these saturated fat is good for you articles are so overwhelming now that I, from a simple Google search, saw on the first page that the American Heart Association themselves put out an article that said, just kidding, saturated fat's actually good for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, for someone like that to do it, because that's... A lot of the false information stems from that big organization and everything they control.
I mean, they're the...
So if they're putting out articles that are saying, hey, just kidding, like,
we
were wrong. And that wasn't for me digging deep. That wasn't for me listening to anyone. Like, I didn't put on Glauer, I didn't put on Asprey, I didn't put on any of those scientific guys. I did a simple Google search and it was on the first page. So it's like, sometimes I don't recommend Googling things because you can cherry pick anything you want and you can literally write whatever.
Come along was like Jillian Michaels article.
Oh, God. We went off on a tangent. Right? But, you know, like, that's like, it's such a simple, just like, educate yourself.
Well,
and
one of the things I was talking about with one of my clients today is the fact that, you know, Eastern and traditional medicine is thousands of years old.
Yeah.
Western medicine, you can really only give its real, full, credible origins back to about the Civil War. So we're talking the 1860s.
Yeah.
And even then, they had no sanitation practices, they didn't know blood typing. I mean, modern Western medicine is quaint.
Yeah.
All right, and I'm not saying that I want to go get, you know, lavender oil rubbed on me if I break my arm. I'm saying that everything has its place.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, here.
Healed.
You're healed. The power of Jeebus protects you. You want to have a certain amount of healthy skepticism with everything, but you want to consider the fact, and again, maybe I'm pagan and I'm biased, but you want to look at what our ancestors did, the way they dealt with the land, the way they dealt with their bodies, the way they dealt with the gods and the spirits. And yes, to a certain degree, there is science there. There is science there. They just didn't use the same terminology. But when you look at a lot of what the Vedic texts say, when you look at a lot of what the Norse traditions will say, you go back to the Kemetic texts, and all these things, you will find overlap with quantum mechanics. You'll find overlap with all sorts of aspects of Western medicine. And let's just come back to the very fact that Western medicine likes to espouse its, you know, almost godlike status. When their founder, Hippocrates, said, let food be thy medicine be thy food, doctors do not do more than 3 months of nutritional study in school.
Yeah.
So let's take the fact that they don't even have a foundation based on their own founder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now
all of a sudden,
the whole model falls apart. Again, I would rather be in a Western ER, but I'm not going to think about long-term care when they want customers, not healed people.
Yes. Well, when people ask all the time about medicines, and a lot of people now are becoming more aware, they're trying to get off of their medicines.
Yes.
Which I always, you know, I help them to the best of my knowledge, but I explain to them, just like doctors don't know nutrition, I don't know medicine enough to help you wean off of something.
Right.
But they are getting smarter with it, and they're trying to go a more natural route, and I try to explain to them, not telling you to come off your medicine, but if you really think about the very simple logic, medicine is a band-aid. Notice how, if you're, you know, with a disease or something like that, you know, not the fact that if you get like a cold or the flu, with a disease, like type 2 diabetes, for example, or depression or anxiety, these medicines, they don't actually cure you. They put a band-aid on it, they make it somewhat livable sometimes.
With depression, it barely takes the edge off.
Yeah, and it's like, these things make it just simply livable. Or, like with type 2 diabetes, you can reverse engineer, okay, why is my body going through this. Why am I type 2 diabetic? What causes it? What is it? Now let's try to reverse it.
Yeah.
Which it can be. So it's like, with all that stuff,
start
it's like
feeding your body properly.
Yeah.
You'll be amazed.
You know, if you just keep taking the medicine, you're going to be able to live with it, but it's not actually going to cure you. It's not actually going to help you get better.
Yeah.
You're not getting down to the root of the problem. You're slapping a Band-Aid on it and hoping that it goes away.
Well, I mean, a prime example of that is my wife was taking blood pressure medication. And she started doing like apple cider vinegar every day and just like eating keto, and she doesn't take blood pressure medication anymore. And it's like,
and this is
like
anecdotal evidence, but it's replete.
Yeah, like she feels much better now because she changed the way she's eating, and she does, like, she takes care of herself properly, and it's like she doesn't have to take that medication anymore, where I'm sure that if that wasn't the case, then I'm sure she'd still be on the medication.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And that goes for, like you were just saying, it just goes for so much disease and...
And I've seen it work. That's why I can sit here and confidently say that.
Right.
It's worked on myself. It's worked on... I've helped personally other people with it. Close, you know, my friends, my clients. Like, I've helped a lot of people with, you know, nutrition, but going much deeper into just losing weight.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, I've helped people self-develop themselves and just through nutrition and mindset too.
It's all connected.
It's all connected. All connected.
And I know it's
that's what I tell people when they first start keto. I say the biggest asset and the biggest mistake, really, it's not what you're eating, what you're not eating. It's not the amount of carbs and the fat. It's being open-minded. Your mindset. This is an entire mindset shift because it goes against...
Every one of your podcasts, I just come back to mindset.
It does.
Every single one.
And because...
Well, I can't say I've watched every one, but at least half of it. And like
they all come back
at
to
least
mindset.
By halfway through, we're talking mindset.
And I'm a huge believer in that because my mindset used to be shit.
That's what my whole channel is all about.
My mindset, that's why when our first conversation, I was already like, all right, this guy's fucking awesome. I'm like, dude, like, my mindset was ruining my life. You can ask anyone close to me. My dad is, he had a front row fucking seat. And
anyone can ask my ex-wife how many times she's had to watch me completely lose my shit.
Yeah. But it's like you said, you have to go through that. Like, I think back to, like, the way my mindset was fucking my life up, and I'm, believe it or not, as weird and sick as it sounds, I'm grateful for that because it played the role it was supposed to play. If that didn't play the role, that which it did, I might not be the person I am today.
Absolutely.
Like, even the things that have happened in my life that I had no control over, you know.
Or you didn't have to necessarily make it worse.
Exactly. So like that, like my mindset completely, I mean, like I said before, it ruined a lot of stuff that I could have had, but it also did what it was supposed to do.
And
so now my mindset is the way it is now, and I'm a completely different person than, you know,
on my channel, I'm working on one vlog series now, actually, called No Portal to Utopia, and that you touched on something. I want to bring that one back up in a second. The one before it was actually called Fresh Brain Droppings, a salute to George Carlin, and in it I talked about Joseph Campbell and the monomyth, and how I realized that, you know, or Joseph Campbell's talked about. We tell the same stories. It's not that Hollywood doesn't have any new ideas; they don't. But they rehash the same story because we've been doing it for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Star Wars and the Odyssey. You know, like just go back as far back as you want into any culture. And Joseph discovered that there were these 12 main points. And it was this cycle. Because once you went through this whole cycle, you know, accepted the call to adventure, you journeyed, you know, through from one world to another, you crossed the threshold, you battled with the Guardians, you fell into the belly of the whale, you atoned with the Father, you returned with the Elixir, like this whole thing, you do it again. And you do it again. And like the mind calendar has smaller and larger tracts of time that all interlock together, our lives are like that.
Right.
And I realized that. All the worst things, and I am grateful to all the gods for every bit of pain and heartache that I went through because it toughened me. But, and this is where I want to bring up No Portal. No Portal to Utopia, I call that vlog series that because, like with Rick and Morty, there is no way to just cut to the world you want to live in, the you that you want to be.
You gotta live through the shit.
You gotta go through the shit. And at one point, I wrote a book. I tried to use it as a call to revolution, and I really just thought it would just make me some money and like I could live a little better. But at the same time, I hated money and capitalism, so don't even get me started on that bullshit. But I tried to take a shortcut, and it didn't work. And I just made my life so much worse. So in this series, I'm recounting, you know, everything I went through, which is really what I do on my whole channel, and problem is, and this is where medication and all that stuff come into play, is people don't want to put in the fucking work.
No.
Oh, no.
They want the pill.
Shortcut.
And it's so funny because, like, we look at, again, pop culture. We have to look at the stories because they reflect us. People love the X-Men. People love Marvel, the Marvel Universe and the DC Universe because all of a sudden somebody gets struck by lightning around chemicals and they can run super fast. Somebody gets bit by a radioactive spider and they have all these cool powers. Somebody who's born a mutant and then they hit puberty and then they can, like, you know, lift cars. People love those stories because there's no work involved to get those abilities.
Yeah.
But if you look at the stories of the mystics and the yogis who can, you know, hover and, like, astral project, and, you know, John Chang who can, like, you know, light paper on fire, these people eat a specific regimen, they meditate 8 hours a day, they, you know, they live a regimented lifestyle to get these amazing abilities that have been scientifically documented.
Yeah.
None of it's fucking easy.
No.
And this is what people don't understand. That's why they love the idea of superheroes suddenly being able to be super. Maybe that can happen to me one day. No cupcake. It can't. And it doesn't matter what it is, whether you're thinking about superhuman powers or living a healthy, you know, carefree life, having a great body and fucking whomever you please, you're not going to do that without work.
No. And that's a lot of times I hear people almost every day in the industry that I'm in. I explain keto, I explain paleo, whatever. Most of the viewers know I do paleo for half the year and keto for half the year. Mm-hmm. It's just, that's the way my body responds best to it.
Huh.
But that's why I preach both. Mm-hmm. I'm a big believer in both. We're really big believers in what works for you, but
yes.
When I explain it, a lot of times I hear, well, it's easy for you. And I have to hold back my laughs because,
I didn't.
You know, like, when I tell people about, like, how I work out, and it's like especially with you out of all people would appreciate martial arts.
Yeah.
Easy. I've been doing it since I was 9 years old, and I'm still improving every day. I'm still looking to my coaches to learn every day. And with people don't realize they didn't see the hard work I put in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They see
the
how I am now, which is, I mean, I appreciate the fact that you can recognize me the way I am now. I used to eat McDonald's and Taco Bell. When I say every day, I mean every
day,
fucking day, no beats skipped.
Yeah.
I used to smoke a pack a day,
yeah.
Parliament Lights, the amount of fucking money I wasted on that. And I used to drink to the point where my tolerance was so high, I was able to drink an entire 12-pack of Bud Light and still be not even buzzed. That's where I started to worry. So, and all of that, so the transition from, like, okay, slowly cutting that stuff down, starting to work out again, starting to get back into my martial arts, which is helping me with the discipline big time, to the point where now I don't have to use my willpower and discipline
because
I'm in a different mindset.
Right.
But, you know, all those, that took years.
Yeah.
So I didn't just start, you wake up and be like, hey, I'm going to start eating paleo and keto. It's like, it took me a long time to transition from how I was to how I am now. I'm talking years, and I'm still a student of everything in my life. I'm still a student learning about everything. As much as I know about everything, I love being a student. I'll forever want to learn. But
exactly.
It's all, and what, from now until 5 years from now, I'm still going to be.
Of course.
I'm going to be in a different mindset then. I'm going to be, no, never.
I just did a vlog on this.
That's one of my favorite sayings by Tony Robbins.
Was
progress equals happiness.
Yes.
The minute you stop progressing,
you're not happy. Yeah. Well, Mel Robbins talks about pretty much the same thing in just different language. And that's why I love being able to curate all these things online, is that you hear the same phrase. And that was part of, in my recovery, in my journey, was I was looking for the patterns where they connected, where the lines connected between all these different thought leaders. And it was very easy to spot. It was very easy. It jumped right out at me. And so I started, you know, correlating all these things. But I just did a vlog on about learning, about education, how learning feeds your success, because the more you learn, the more you want to learn, the more you realize you have to learn, the more joy, the more you become like a kid.
Yeah.
And just say, fuck it, I'm just going to go out and explore and try things. I mean, how old's your kid?
2.5.
2.5, yeah. Mine's 6.
Okay.
So as they get older, I mean, you see it now. They're learning, they're experiencing everything.
Yeah.
They don't have the ego to say, well, I shouldn't ask this stupid question. It's like, no, ask the stupid fucking question.
Yeah.
Gary says that all the time. He says, he talks to like 50-year-olds. He says, guys, you say, oh, well, I don't know this digital stuff because it wasn't around when I was a kid. He goes, this wasn't around when anyone was a kid. This wasn't around. This stuff's barely 10 years old.
Yeah.
So learn it. We all learn it. You know, wherever you're at. So it feeds its own. It becomes its own cycle. Whereas we were talking about before, everything could become a downward spiral very fast. You could decide to make it an upward spiral.
You gotta
fight gravity. It's just a lot more work.
You have
the chance. Mel Robbins did a TED talk. Her TEDx talk, I literally watched it 50 times. It's called How to Stop Screwing Yourself Over. So
very
go
simple.
On YouTube, Mel Robbins, How to Stop Screwing Yourself Over. I mentioned it in one of my earlier vlogs too. And she just talks about that. You set yourself up with these patterns until these patterns become your new normal.
Yeah.
And that's what changes. She recommends, and this is a big thing that's helped me, is set your alarm earlier, 15 to 20 minutes earlier. Do not hit the snooze button. The second it goes off, throw the sheets off, get up. Because the amount of willpower it takes for you to throw yourself into a cold room at 5 o'clock in the morning when you do not want to fucking do that is the same amount of energy and effort, mental energy and effort it takes to file for your business, to quit that fucking job, to, you know, break up with that person. All the shit you don't want to do that you're just stuck in your life enduring.
Yeah.
If you want to do, like what all guys like Tony Robbins and Dan Pena and all that want to say, you want to live, you have to cross that threshold, that Campbellian threshold.
Yep.
You have to push yourself past those threshold guardians, and as I said on my channel numerous times, the thing that's in your way is usually the size and shape of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all about taking the fucking plunge.
So that's why I say get out of your own way. That's my company slogan.
Love
take
it.
The plunge, get
yeah.
out of your own way,
love
man.
It. Love it.
That's exactly how it is, and it sounds like such platitudes, and I'm sure there are people going to be like sitting there with a bag of Cheetos going, easy for them to fucking say.
Yeah.
And look at them, they all look like they're Photoshopped. You know what? It took work.
This is Photoshop.
A lot of work.
But it becomes fun.
Marty's an IT guy, I don't underestimate his Photoshop.
This is Photoshop. I said it on before we went live.
He is.
So I mean,
we're not.
Yeah.
We're actually not here.
Yeah.
No, but that's a fan. I mean, absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree 1,000% with that.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, you have to get uncomfortable to do the things.
You have to get uncomfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I steal a phrase from the Marine Corps. I steal a lot of things from phrases from the Marine Corps because I love that mentality.
Yeah.
You know, in my own mentality, is that warrior state. Like, if I was raised in a different house, I would have went into the Corps.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't conducive for my family. But anyway, they say all the time, embrace the suck.
Yep.
Yeah.
Embrace the suck. Love the suck. These guys go through training that if they want to go up a level, they have to go through this course. But they have to go through a course to go through the course.
Yeah.
If they don't go through the course and get through the course, they're pissed.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the three of us could go through that course and fucking die.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And these guys are pissed if they can't get the best time.
Yeah.
Because they know their training will keep them alive in Fallujah.
Right.
Yep.
It's important.
Yeah.
But people don't play for the long term, like you said.
They don't.
All long game.
It's all long game.
It's the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the London Real.
Yeah.
It's about the journey.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, very cool, man.
All right, so we are coming up to an hour, right?
Wow.
So if you guys have any questions for Matt, Mike, or myself.
Q&A, now's the time.
Now's the time.
We have a couple minutes.
Do a couple more minutes with Q&A and let's see what's going on. And while you're at it, go to iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, YouTube. Subscribe to all of our channels.
Yes.
All of our channels.
I am on YouTube, youtube.com/monsterhealthandfitness.
Yes.
Or you can just type me up in the search. I actually, when I tell people, like, oh, look me up, they type in monster and they get to HE and it comes right up. I'm like,
yes.
Well, if you're watching this on the replay, it's on the first screen of the video. So Matt's Instagram is on there. Matt's YouTube is on there. So
that's
you don't know
what
it, just rewind, pause it at the beginning, and copy and paste. And it will throw in the comments too for everybody. Because some people are lazy and don't want to look, you know. And while you're at it, Mike has a new Instagram. Right? Paleo?
If you guys are doing, I started a new a paleo vlog Instagram with my girlfriend, actually. She does paleo as well, so.
Aww.
Cute, right?
It's cute.
Very adorable.
I'm,
they have matching towel sets and everything.
We do. was my idea. Don't fucking judge me. So it's the underscore paleo underscore couple. And we're posting a lot of fucking cool recipes.
Yep.
And a lot of educational. Like today I posted some bone broth by Kettle and Fire.
Make sure you follow.
Yeah, follow it. Definitely appreciate it. It's going to bring just that much more value to you because a lot of these recipes are homemade. Some of them are even thought of just by us. And, you know, a lot of them are, yes, it's a paleo-based concept Instagram, but for you keto people, there are going to be keto. Like the last meal I posted, the cauliflower meatballs. It happened to have been a keto vegan meal. So I did cauliflower meatless meatballs. I literally, it was one of those things where I just was like, wing it, and I was like, fuck it, let's try it. It came out really good. Cool. So that's the last one that I posted. So go check it out. That would happen to have been paleo and keto. So we're going to be posting a lot of cool stuff. You know, I posted something about coconut cult probiotic and Kettle on Fire bone broth and kind of just some informational stuff, some recipes so you guys can kind of broaden your horizons with, you know, as far as not getting bored with any type of lifestyle. Like, I'm not one of those people who I can't eat the same shit every day. I have to get creative. So that's going to be giving you guys a lot of different recipes and cool ideas. And if you don't know about bone broth, now you know about bone broth. And you know, those of you who know me from Instagram know that if you message me, I'll get back to you right away. So if you do have questions, I'm pretty accessible. So definitely go follow it. I'll put that in the comments too.
And if you can do one more thing, can you guys give us a like and love river?
Like and love river to
all of our new graphics.
You guys usually kill it.
Hope everyone enjoyed them. They're gonna be here for good now.
I'll start it off.
Yeah,
like
we got one.
Let's go.
There's two.
Let's end it off.
Come on, guys.
End it off strong.
Make me proud. Make us all proud.
Oh, no questions? I'm disappointed.
Yeah, guys.
We got some on the replay, too.
Oh, okay.
We do.
You'll definitely tag me that night.
Yes.
Well, yeah, 100%. You'll be...
Yeah, I've been, like, signing off of Facebook a lot, because that's where I tend to... like banter with a lot of banter politics, so I try to like avoid it. But I'll stay signed on for a few days.
There we go. Lots of love.
Thank
lots
you guys.
Of love. Lots of love.
Like
love
in love
it.
River. Okay,
awesome.
I get it. That's cute.
Alright, cool.
Cool.
Thanks for coming up.
Thank you so much for having me. Really
thank
appreciate
you very much.
It.
Really appreciate it. And
make sure you guys remember too, we have it also in the beginning of the podcast. Thanks to Marty for the dope fucking graphics. Sailway, we got you guys hooked up with that 10% off promo code. You go onto sailwaycoffee.com and you use KetoMM as the promo code. You literally get, boom, there it is. That was fucking cool. And you get, I don't know anything about the 10.
I can't.
I'm learning from him.
Yeah.
Use promo code KetoMM and you get 10% off of your entire order. So keep that in mind. On the website, it's a map of the country and it circles and highlights the areas that Sailway can ship the cans.
And there's the graphic for you.
And there's the graphic. So make sure we got you guys hooked up with that. So utilize it. You can drink the Sailway that we drink every week and with a 10% off code.
Yup.
Until next Monday.
Until next Monday, guys. Go like and subscribe to our YouTube and iTunes channel. Don't forget, give us 5 stars. And, we're good for... Wednesday? Is that?
Yes, I forget what time.
Okay.
So Wednesday, we're going to keep you guys updated. I'm going to, Marty and I are both going to post something on social media. We're going to be on Michelle, if you guys remember a couple episodes back, we had Nutrish Mish, Michelle and Kim on our podcast, and we are actually going to be on their podcast as guests, very gratefully on their podcast as guests on Wednesday. We'll get back to you within a specific time.
Yep.
Kim told me. I forgot. So we're going to be on there, so you guys can go on and check us out as guests on there. We're going to have some cool topics to talk about. It's going to be me, Marty, Michelle, and Kim on there. So we'll keep you guys updated.
If I can put you two on the spot, what are the chances you guys think you could hop onto my channel for an interview?
Absolutely.
All right, cool. I'll put them on the spot.
Stay tuned for that, too.
We'll be on there on Matt's channel now, too.
Let's do it, guys.
All right.
Awesome. All right. Have a great night,
thanks
everyone.
Thanks a lot for having me. Peace out, Internet.
5 stars.
Five stars. 5.